We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years, plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal, too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's right, it is the WIP Morning Show, but not with Joe DiCamera or John Ritchie. Elliot Chirp-Barks, James Seltzer in for those guys. Rhea Hughes, Joe Wechter hanging out. Good morning, everybody.
What up, buddy? How's it going?
Good morning, Elliot.
Thanks for having me in. I appreciate it.
I know. We followed each other in this morning.
We did, yes.
Like a couple of nerds.
Yeah, so, you know, just next 12 hours together, basically.
I know. As if we don't see enough of each
right.
other. Yes.
All well, right. Look, when there's Eagles football to be talked about, I am summoned.
Yes, that's right. That's right. You are the beat writer we need, as people
yes.
say. All right, a lot to get into today. 215-592-9494 at the aforementioned Eagles. A time of consternation right now.
Certainly feels like it. You
yes.
were in there in Dallas with me. People were very upset on that plane ride back from
yes.
From Dallas.
I have said multiple times that I came to a realization this weekend that there is no bigger feeling of being a chump
yeah.
as a human being than wearing your team's jersey in your rival's stadium and getting your asses beat. Like,
well,
I felt like a
you.
Total chump.
Yeah,
man.
And especially for you. Yes. You're Mr. Dallas sucks. You know, you said it many a time this
yes.
past
Dallas
weekend
sucks.
In Dallas.
They
yeah.
didn't this weekend, but in general,
it was
they
a
do.
Rough 4 hours for my guy.
It was not a lot of fun,
no.
yeah, honestly.
Especially
and,
for someone as positive as you.
That's right. Yes. Yeah,
there's
I was
nothing
I was,
to be positive.
I
about.
Was not expecting to be boat raced the way we were. Boat race, a term
yeah.
that's come up.
It does
on the
happen
show.
In Dallas quite a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it's a shame, but look, it has raised a lot of people's concern levels.
Yeah.
Look, I was right there after the. Niners game saying, hey, listen, you know, there's a lot of reasons for why they could get beaten so bad. But for them to not show up in Dallas the way they did, obviously it has made me much more concerned about this team. And look, we're going to get into it all today, but I think, you know, it's kind of just a common acceptance that the defense is a problem.
It's a bit of an issue.
You know, and I don't yeah. think there's a lot of faith. I think we're hoping with the defense that they can get a few stops when you need it. But if this team's going to go where we want them to go, if this team's going to turn this thing around and become the Super Bowl team that I certainly believe they were.
And still are.
And still can be. It's going to have to happen on the offensive side of the ball. The offense is going to have to be the side of the ball that carries this team forward, Elliot.
Yeah, and so when I think about how can this team kind of get off the losing streak and how can they return to playing like the team that I believe they are. Like, I still don't think that 10-1 start was a fluke. I still think they have an argument for being the best team in the league. It's not as clear as it used to be, certainly, after losing the way they did to San Francisco. But when I think about this team's main problem, I actually think back to training camp, which, as you know, is my favorite time of the year, besides Christmas. So, you know, with two favorite times here. But I remember vividly, not daily, but almost daily, hearing Sirianni yell at the team, like, don't be sloppy. Take care of the ball. At one point, he said something vividly like, this is how you'll lose to bad teams. And we saw that happen in New York this year with the turnovers. So for me, the problem with this team, it's not coaching. I think the coaching is fine. In fact, I think the coaching is very good. The roster is very good. This team's problem is turnovers. And it sounds simple, but it's also a terrifying problem at the same time in the way that they've now been a turnover-prone team for, what, 70% of the year, wherever we're at, 75%? And if you look at why they're struggling and why the offense isn't scoring the way it is, it's not because of the scheme. It's not because of Brian Johnson. It's not the play calling. It's turnovers. They're moving the ball up and down the field. They're getting into the high red zone. They're getting into the red zone. They're getting into opponents' territory. They've turned it over 19 times this year. over half of those have been in the red zone, if you are in the opponent's territory. If you look at this last game against Dallas, Devontae fumbled it at the 7. Jalen fumbled it at like the 14. AJ fumbled it at around the 40. They're getting the ball into where it needs to go. They're messing it up the end of the drives. That's not coaching. This is on the turnovers. And once they start taking care of the ball, they'll be off and
running.
That
is way too simple. And look, the turnovers are, they lost 42-19 to the Niners. They didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah,
zero times.
That one was an anomaly. It was an anomaly.
Look, anomaly.
It was.
Look, they're turning the ball over, sure, but they've also, like, the offense has not functioned the way it's supposed to. Like, forget, like, look with your eyes, man. Mm-hmm. Watch this team each week. Jalen doesn't look comfortable. At no point is it easy for him. They never make it easy for this guy. Like, there's no easy throws. There's no easy completions. There's never a rhythm to this offense. We never look at them and be like, oh, look at this. They're just other than one half in overtime against Buffalo. That's the only time in the last month that this offense has looked like it can move the ball with any sort of consistency, with any sort of rhythm. They haven't been able to run the ball at all. At all. Like, that has been a massive issue. Is that just talent? They're supposed to have the best offensive line in football, aren't they? Isn't that the, you've said that, it's the best offensive line in football. Why can't they run the ball if it's just talent?
And they've not done a good job running the ball.
Why is it that players are never open? Why is it that guys, Jalen has to make the hardest throws in the league? And look, I am not, I just want to make it clear, I'm not like letting the players off the hook. I understand that the players have not played up to their level. Jalen needs to be better. Absolutely, they need to stop turning the ball over. I'm not saying that's not an issue. But when you look at the biggest issues with this offense and this team, it is scheme related. It is coaching related. These coaches are not putting the best players in positions to be successful. They're saying, go out. You guys are talented. Go win. Like, you got to help them win. It's not just go out and ball. Like,
they are
helping. They're not helping them win.
I think
all you have to do is watch this offense on a week-to-week basis, and there's nothing creative. There is nothing different. Like, we'll play some audio in a little bit from Jaws that we played yesterday where he's like, I see nothing from the. There's nothing to disguise what you're doing. There's nothing to make the defense feel uncomfortable. Like, yes, you have talented players. Help those talented players be better.
The reason it looks tough is because they're playing really tough defenses. That's why it looks tough. If you look at this over this gauntlet, Dallas,
isn't that what matters though? They're gonna play a tough defense
in the
playoffs. All that matters is winning the Super Bowl with this team. Everything else is secondary.
But I'm saying, I think a lot of where we get the perception that it looks tough and it looks so much more difficult is because we think last year looked easy. So you're like, so what's the difference? And that's where Brian Johnson comes in. But if you look at the numbers are the same roughly compared to each. But let's just do the eye test thing, right? They're playing way tougher teams. And you have talked about this a ton, and I think you've proven to be correct. The gauntlet this team has gone through and the fatigue it's taken on them has hit them. And I think when I look, like, I think it would be pressing the panic button way too much to say the offensive scheme is too simple or they need to change things. What you're seeing is a team that's playing basically a top five defense each of the last 6 weeks in a row, which I agree, those are the teams you're going to have to beat, but it does impact how the offense looks. And then they're also just turning the ball over. They're moving the ball. Like, in terms of points per drive, yards per drive, amount of separation the receivers are getting, expected completion percentage, all those things are basically the same that they were last year. The difference, they're turning it over way more than they last year. Jalen has 15 turnovers already this year. I think he had 8 all of last year. So while I get your point that, like, it feels like more of a slog this year, that's because they're just playing way better teams. And so I think that overall, like, if you look at this stretch that they went on, the offense, for the most part, like, performed, right? But the issue is they keep turning it over. And so once they start taking care of the ball,
offense has not performed, man. And even before, even prior to the recent struggles, like, at no point this year has this offense played a full, complete game, start to finish. If they come out ready to roll, move the ball down the field consistently from start to finish, that hasn't happened all season for this
team. But you're big into this too, right? Just really quick. Like, first of all, offense is down around the league, number one. But number two, like, it might just be a down year for the league, because if you look at them compared to almost every other offense besides, like, San Francisco, they are a team that moves the ball more consistently than almost every other team. So when we're in it and we're watching the game 3-4 times and we're talking about it, you know, Monday through Saturday, I think the flaws become a little more exposed. But on the whole, like, Brian Johnson is closer to a head coaching candidate than he is a firing candidate. And I'm excited to ask Peter King about that.
And look, like, I'm not looking to fire Brian Johnson. He is a first-year play caller. Like, I'm with you, Rhea. I think that's crazy town. Yes. Like, and I know that's the way the NFL works and all that. But in terms of what we've seen from Ryan Johnson. And again, he's a first-year play caller, so I'm not indicting him.
Right.
But he has not been impressive as a play caller.
I disagree.
I think
he has been impressive.
Like, I think the biggest loss from last year going into this year was Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen was a wizard, and I don't think we realized how valuable he was till he left.
I firmly disagree. And I think we're doing the same mistake we did when Frank Reich left. The offensive numbers against a tougher schedule and tougher defenses are the same. Brian's job is tougher than Shane's
job. But it's not the same. Watch the team. You know it's not the same.
Where do you think stats come from? They come from watching and the games that happen, right? So, like, offensively, they're doing almost what they were last year in a year where, A, the opponents are tougher. The schedule is definitely tougher in terms of how it played out. And offense is down around the league. But I also think what we overlook when it comes to Brian Johnson is that he's had a tougher task than Shane Steichen has. He had to adjust to the league when last year Shane got to catch him by surprise. And despite all that, if they just hold on to the ball, they probably beat Dallas in the San Francisco.
I think they do, man.
They drove all the way down the
they
field.
Got
they drove all the way down
game,
the field,
man.
And
like,
Jalen fumbled it at
bad,
the 14.
And the fumbles were bad, and that's a big issue. And your best players have to play better.
Yes.
In big. They did not show up, but like they were not winning that game in Dallas, even if they held on to the ball. They got handled.
I don't know if that's true. Like, AJ drops it at the 2-yard line. Devontae and Jalen just miss on a touchdown. But the point I'm making is, it like there are plays to be made. The scheme is not broken. They don't need more motion. They don't need to throw it to more people. The ball is being moved and plays are there to be made. They need their best players to play better. That's what it comes down to. If they're going to turn this around, and I think they will, I think over the last 4 weeks you'll see a much better team, because guess what? They're playing much worse teams, so they will be able to get right. But if the players play to the level they can, they absolutely will be the team we all thought they were, which is a Super Bowl contender in the Super Bowl and all those things.
215-592-9494. Who do you blame more for the offense's struggles? Do you blame the players or the coaches? Look, obviously they're both, you know, there's issue. There's
right.
blame
Over
to
the
go.
Last 2 weeks, no one
there's
is.
There's blame to go around. But when I look at this offense, I know that they can be schemed better, and that's going to help the players be better. Sure, they got to hang on to the ball. But outside of that, this offense can help these players be better. Elliot thinks the offense is fine. The guys just need to step up. 215-592-9494. We have a big show for you today. A lot to get into. Obviously, we'll continue to talk about the Birds. We got some Yamamoto news. Mm. We'll re-air Nick Sirianni from yesterday. A lot of interesting stuff in that interview to react to. Ruben Amaro in studio with us from 7 o'clock forward. Peter King at 7:30. Howard Esk at 8 o'clock. Mike Quick at 840, Times Yours at 945. A massive show. Get in now. 215-592-9494. Plus, coming up next, we're going to tell you how you can win not one, but two awesome prizes. How about that?
I mean, look, I think it's for me and you. Two of us.
Look at that. That's definitely
why. Are we the prizes?
I'm guessing there are a lot of people listening who are yelling.
Let me get back to you on that.
Well, at least one prize.
Yelling, Riam say they're yelling, no, at their radio. But you can win a prize. That's coming up next as well. Elliot Short Park's in for John Ritchie. James Seltzer in for Joe DeCamera. Rhea Hughes, Joe Wechter. Big day up ahead. Get on the line now. 215-592-9494. It's the morning show. We're coming right back. Good morning. Joe Wechter on the ones and twos. Love to hear it. How about that? Yoshi Yamamoto maybe coming to town. We'll get more on that. Ruben Amaro going to be in studio. 21 straight losses for the Pistons. How about
Not
those
great.
Sixers last night? Yeah.
How about those Sixers?
Beating up on a bad team. You
winning,
loved it.
Winning
what
all
they
the time
do.
Again. Yeah.
Beating bad just teams, losing to good ones.
Winning
the
like 80% of their games all the time.
Twitter poll question today. Sponsored
regular
by
season.
Yes. Thank you, Rhea. Yeah. Thank you. Twitter poll question today. Sponsored by Armin Chevrolet of Ardmore. Wishing all a happy and healthy holiday season. Thank you to the Delaware Valley for 23 years of support. Find New Roads and Armin Chevrolet. Find New Roads to Armin Chevrolet. Our Twitter poll question of the day today, as we've been talking about, is who do you blame most for the Eagles' recent offensive struggles, the coaches or the players? Coming to the phones in a second, Rhea Hughes, where do you come down on our Twitter poll question, our topic of the day? And again, look, we know there is blame to go around. Everyone deserves some blame for this. Do you blame more the coaches? And again, the coaches, by the way. We're talking Sirianni and Johnson. I know it usually just becomes Brian Johnson. But Nick Sirianni, it's his offense, his design. He's a part of it, too. Rhea, where do you come down on this?
It's amazing to think that the person getting the least amount of blame is the special teams coach, Michael Clay.
I know. He's probably been the best
coach. Done a good job.
Year,
so. Yeah. Who'd have thunk it? Shout out to Michael Clay.
He's been awesome.
I did not want him back. So, you know, props to him. And this is a sad moment for me because although personally I like Elliot Shore Parks, I never agree with him. I mean, Elliot and I go back and forth.
Almost by principle.
I don't know if this
right?
is good or bad for you, Rhea, but welcome to to my side.
Welcome to wisdom, as Joe DeCameron would say.
Exactly. Yeah. Welcome to
me. Do you miss Gannon yet, I guess would be my question.
No, I do not miss Gannon at all.
Don't push it. All right, pal?
It's Jalen Hurts. And to me, when you can put all the scheme and plan all the plays and have your stuff that you're putting in during the week, at the end of the day, the guy under center or in the gun, as he usually is,
yes,
it's Jalen Hurts. He's the guy who's making the decisions, and his decision-making is absolutely under question. Number one, you can't have this offense and not score a single touchdown in a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely unacceptable. And I agree with Elliot. They were moving the ball. You look at it, at the best, they'd have 21 points off those three turnovers. Anywhere between 9 and 21, they could have gotten off those turnovers, probably field goals in that game. He's going for, let's go 40 yards down to A.J. Brown instead of seeing the guy underneath who's open.
But isn't that coaching? I mean, they keep telling us that's what they're telling Jalen to do.
But
I'm with you. Give him easy throws. Make him tell him to take those easy throws.
Well, apparently they
coach him better.
James, if that guy's open underneath, they're scheming.
They've told us not to. He's not even looking at certain receivers because they're not supposed to.
Asinine for literally Nick Sirianni. There's only three guys. I don't believe him.
Well, and to Rhea's point, and I think it's an important one, like, because it's something you said in the open about, you know, give Jalen easy throws. The easy throws are there. Mm-hmm. Jalen's not taking them. But honestly, I'm okay with Jalen being aggressive down the field. Like, there's a reason you pay A.J. Brown $100 million, right?
Sure.
So go down the field with it. But then that is players and not coaches.
Yeah, no, they need to scheme it better. Make it easy for Jalen. This guy's got
He's not taking easy
throws. And they're doing a bad job scheming up against the blitz. And we'll get to some audio of that. Shio Kapadia, a really damning statement about Jalen and the offense against the blitz. But look, there's a lot of blame to go around. I agree, Jalen has not played well enough. I just think this offense needs to put him in better
success.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks particularly. Mm-hmm. Needs to put him in better positions to succeed. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute, we're going to tell you how you can win not one, but two awesome prizes today. First, let's go to the phones, go to Dover and talk to my guy, Tommy. What up, pal?
Yo, what's up, Jimmy? What's going on?
My man. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, listen, I'm agreeing with both of y'all guys. But you know what? ESP, man, these dudes, man, drove the ball down the field on the 49ers, man, with ease. Mm-hmm. They came away with two field goals. That hurts a lot, man.
It did.
Turnovers.
And on top of that, in the 49ers game, they couldn't get off the field on third down.
Yep.
13, 16, man, they were giving up the first. I mean, like, man, that's the players. That's not the coaching.
Well, and Tom, I think, you know, to bring up the defense, it's an excellent point by you. Like, and look, the defense has not been good enough, and they've been far worse.
I think it's the biggest issue with the team is the defense.
But to the players, like, the pass rush has not been there. Like, you know, you can blame the scheming of the back seven and all that.
I said this yesterday, dude. I'm with you.
It's really just Hassan Reddick that's stepped up. But Jalen Carter has not been as effective the last few weeks. Josh Sweat has not played well. And this is kind of like last year, too, in the way that the defense is only as good as its pass rush. And this year, the pass rush has been nowhere near as good as last year.
The offense in the Dallas game, they turned the ball over just like you said every time they got in the zone. So we can't blame that on Sirianni, even though I'm not a Sirianni fan, because I believe when we get in the red zone, the play calling is terrible. You know,
I agree. I've been really, and look, I am a Sirianni fan. I think he's a damn good football coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you, Tom. I've been really unimpressed with the play calling, especially in tight situations.
Well, and I think another example, in my opinion, look, it kind of falls on both, as you're saying, Tom. But they have the ball. They throw it to Goddard. He gets down to the 7 yard line. They should have first and goal at the 7. But because of a penalty on A.J. Brown, that play is negated and they're pushed back. So
it
now
was
they're
a weak penalty, too.
It
really was.
First and now it's first and 20 at the 31. Like, and I get coaching is involved in, you know, making sure that penalty doesn't happen. But ultimately, like, I'm sure they're telling A.J. Brown how to run that play. Like, that's a mistake by a player. So I just think what's happening is their best players are not playing well.
Well, they need to coach them better. Have them ready to play then. Like, they were lackadaisical. They weren't even – that's something you haven't even talked about. And, Tommy, great call, brother. Always good to talk to you. Look, the guys haven't shown up for these games ready to play. Like, week after week, we get these slow starts. And I know part of it is not converting in the red zone and stuff like that. But – But part of a coach's job is have a team ready. And that's something Sirianni did so well last year. Last year, they came out on fire every single game. Like, we haven't seen that at all this year.
Well, I think it's easier to come out on fire when you're playing trash teams each week. Just for what it's worth. I'm just saying.
They just haven't looked as good. Right. And look, they played trash teams for the first six games of the season and lost one of them or whatever. Seven games of the season.
They were 10-1. But,
right, and they won games, but look, and I defended them and stuff, but you can't say they've come out and dominated a team yet. The Miami game's the only game they've won by more than a touchdown.
No, but for me at least, and I'm not trying to excuse everything, because look, like they have not, there's been turnover problems, all those things. One thing we talked about on the Go Birds pod prior to this year was just the toughness of coming off losing the Super Bowl. And I think you're seeing that a little bit.
I agree.
So I actually think like they've far exceeded the expectations. If you
for
consider.
You, it's tougher. But for me, I didn't expect it to be as tough. It was tougher than I expected. But
right.
For my expectations, they haven't. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a sec. You have the chance today to win two awesome prizes. You have the chance to win a $100 gift card to Joseph Anthony Retreat, Spa, and Salon, the secret to finishing your holiday shopping with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, and Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online at josephanthony.com where gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com, obviously. A pretty great gift to give your significant other at this time of
year. Holiday shopping?
No. What do you mean? I don't do holiday shopping.
Oh, yes, that's right. Sorry.
That's right. I actually, this year, we'll get to that in a sec. The second prize, you also have a chance, in addition to the gift card to Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, you also have the chance to win a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard and Journey and the Steve Miller Band at Citizens Bank Park.
No way.
Yeah, pretty good. On July 23rd, 2024.
Wechter's going to be there.
Yeah, I might too. Tickets go on sale Friday, December 15th at Def Leppard Journey 2024.com. That'll be a sing-along, you know, a sing-along yes. concert. You go and you sing. Yeah, so for those, I'm not a big, my wife and I don't get each other presents ever, ever. We're big on like, you know, it's we'll go to dinner or something like that. But the problem is it has made me bad at shopping for anyone. For presents. And this year, my mom had moved up this year, so my mom will be here. My brother and his wife are coming down. So, like, I actually have to shop for presents. So I'm struggling.
Here's
a
question.
Now. It's not good.
I can help you with that.
Well, please, Rhea. Please, yes.
Rhea, where do you fall on this? James as well, obviously, Wechter too. So, my wife sent me three things she wanted.
Yes.
So, if I just buy all those three, like.
Yeah, you're set.
But do I have to get something else? Like, is there like you guys need to chime in on this. Involved here, or is just getting the three things simple enough and good?
Believe what she tells you.
Okay, I agree. That's what I agree. Thinking. Just get what she says. And here's the thing.
It's a surprise.
If you're listening now, you could have a surprise by winning these prizes. Well, and that can
thinking.
Be your surprise.
Maybe a handwritten
for your significant
note,
other.
Though. Yeah. Maybe a handwritten note.
Maybe I'll go to camera style. That's right. Yeah.
People don't like reading what I have to write. So
that's not wrong either. Do you even write anymore? Is the
on Twitter.
All right, here we go. Your chance to win the prize. The movie Vanilla Sky came out today in 2001. Weird movie. Good movie. I haven't seen it in a while. I'm guessing
I've
Elliot's
never seen it.
Never heard of it, I'm sure. But vanilla is a food, a flavor, a type of food. Elliot Shore Parks, Rhea Hughes, Joe Wechter, everyone listening, your chance to win these prizes. Give us the best title. So it can be a movie, a book, a TV show that has a type of food in the title, like vanilla. Elliot Shore Parks, give me food in a title.
Welcome to Good Burger.
Look at you.
Home of the Good Burger.
Good Burger.
James, can I take your order?
You
one of my favorite shows growing up, obviously, Kenan and Kel show was on, I believe it was on all that too. I used to love that movie growing up. It came on like the orange VHS back in the day, for those that remember
that.
Look
at you.
And they actually made another one recently, which is pretty sad in a way. Yeah. But yeah.
You gotta make that money when you
can.
So
Good Burger.
Rhea Hughes, give me food and a title.
Great book and a great movie. Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good answer. Very good book. I mean, very good movie. I've not read the book.
The book, you have to read. It's a really good book.
I like the movie. I haven't seen it in a while. Joseph A. Wechter Jr.
Well, we have a movie.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm going to do a song. I'm going to go with Peaches by the Presidents of the United States.
Ah, Peaches for free. Peaches for me. Yeah, I love it.
They were talking about the Jack Black song from the Mario movie. Recently, called Peaches.
Of course,
you just took another one off the list.
Yeah,
you just said.
Let me tell you, not a winner that he took off the list. How about Peaches and Regalia by Frank Zappa?
Nope,
anyone know that,
one.
Or am I the
there's
only one who knows
one.
It? I was gonna go with just to make Joe DiCamera annoyed. Raspberry Beret by Prince. Shout out to Prince.
Love that song.
Because you know why? Because Prince is awesome.
Yes, he is.
And we will not have any Prince slander on the show when Joe DiCamera is not here. We will not allow it. All right, 215-592-9494. So your chance. To win these prizes, the $100 gift card to Joseph Anthony Spa and Salon and the tickets to see Def Leppard Journey with the Steve Miller Band next year. Those are all on the table. Give us the best title, whether it's movie, book, TV show, anything along those lines that has food in the title, plus the Eagles. Where do you come down on offensively? Look, we all know the defense is a problem, the biggest problem as far as most of us are concerned. But the offense is what this team needs to win with. What's the biggest issue with the offense right now? Is it the players not playing up to their ability, or is it the coaches not putting them in positions to play up to their ability? 215-592-9494. Also, coming up next, Nick Sirianni joined Joe and John yesterday. Really fascinating interview talking about, obviously, the loss to Dallas, the anonymous leak from the player, a whole lot more. You're going to be able to hear a re-air of that as well. That's coming up next as well. It's The Morning Show. We're coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm guessing there's going to be a theme with the music today. Do you recognize this, Elliot Gerbart? President of the United States of America. This is the song that Joe
that's what I figured, yeah.
So no, you don't recognize it. There's going to be a lot of Elliot not recognizing the music today. 215-592-9494. It's The Morning Show. Elliot Chirp Parks, James Heltzer, and for John Ritchie, Joe DeCamera, Maria Hughes, Joe Wechter, hanging out. Coming up in a minute, we're going to hear from Nick Sirianni. He was on with Joe and John yesterday. A really interesting interview diving into the Cowboys game, the anonymous leak, a whole lot more. I know a lot of people who are listening at this time don't get a chance to listen later in the day because of work and all that. So you'll get a chance to hear the Nick Sirianni interview in just a moment. Let's go to the phones first. Let's go right back and talk to our guy, Kenny from the Dirty 30. What up, Ken?
Hey, good morning. I got the whole family in the car. We're heading to the airport because we are heading out to Seattle.
Look awesome. At you.
Nice.
A day can't early, wait. Too. You know, I guess you can have like a whole
early,
few days. Have a whole weekend out there.
Yeah, well, it's a day early because, you know, I thought the NFL possibly could flex it to Thursday night, not thinking for a minute they were going to flex it to Monday night. So, it's a disgrace they did that to all of us.
I agree. I think it's the worst thing the NFL's done. I mean, they don't care about their fans anyway, but it's one of the worst things they've done in a while.
They should have to pay for all the flight changes.
I agree. I think it's a great call.
Yeah. Like, if you show them a receipt that you're going, I think they should have to pay
for it. I think it's
it.
Outrageous. All right, Kenny, so what's on your mind? Where are you coming down with this Eagles team right now?
It's kind of funny you said that. I'm actually sending a letter to Roger Goodell with my receipts and saying, I think you owe me this money.
I'm sure you'll get it back, Ken.
It's your fault and not mine.
Ken, let me know when he gets back to you on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, it's out of principle.
I agree. No, I like it. All right, so what do you got, Ken?
There's so many things. I can't believe, Elliot, I have to agree with you because I love it so much better when I don't.
Yeah, me too. But we're both so smart, it's hard to know.
Well, don't give myself that credit. I just think they're an exhausted team right now, mentally and physically, with this grueling schedule. And, you know, and then... Oh, let's give them back-to-back road games where you have to get in a plane and, you know, be in a plane for 5-6 hours. I just think the NFL just they
did them dirty. Really, I don't think there's any question with that, Ken. We all agree with that. We've said that from the jump. But at the same time, you know, the Eagles got to fight through it, you know, and they got to find a way to scheme themselves into better situations and play better
and hold on to the ball.
I think they're going to win this week. Actually, no, they're going to win in Seattle. I'm putting bank on it. But it's just they'll come out of this. This stretch here at 4-2, which beginning of the season, looking at that, I'd have been happy with 4-2 coming through that stretch. And they went out like I think they will. I mean, 15-2 is nothing, or 14-3 is nothing to sneeze at, man.
No, it would be amazing. And I don't think a lot of people thought they would get there. I predicted 13-4 would be slightly better than I predicted. But Kenny, I don't think you're a lock to win out. All right, Kenny, give us a title with food in it.
I always go with the first thing that comes into my head. So, Pulp Fiction.
It's pulp food.
I don't know. I think that's stretching what we're going
for. Yeah, pulp.
Here.
I mean, for that, it's
a great movie, but
it's
I would say violent fiction. Yes.
Is that what pulp
so
fiction
that is
means?
Not what we're looking for, Kenny. That answer does not qualify. It's creative, but we're looking for an actual item.
And
of
pulp's
food.
Also not good.
Yeah. Well, pulp is. Yeah. No one. You know, really
right.
wants the pulp.
That's why
all right.
They take it out of the orange
that's
juice.
Right. All right. 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a few minutes. Nick Sirianni joined the morning show yesterday later in the show, dove into the Dallas game, the leak, a whole lot. We'll be right back after this. Here's Nick Sirianni yesterday with Joe and John.
Nick, let's go back to Sunday night. Two in a row, obviously, and Sunday night was really, really rough. How do you explain what happened out there for those 3 hours on Sunday night?
Yeah, you know, obviously didn't play our game. And I get it. That's 2 weeks in a row that we haven't played our game, and we have to be better. So it always starts with me. It always starts with me having the guys ready to play, me making sure that the coaches are ready to go. And obviously we weren't. And so that blame falls upon me. We need to do things better as coaches. We need to execute better. And we need to put them in better spots. We need to execute better. And like I said, I'm the one that we need to look at for this. But I know one thing, that we'll get up and we'll go and we'll get everything working and try to get better this week.
Nick, let's talk about the offense. And something I think a lot of people believe, and I am one of them, is that the offense is too simple. And what worked to a certain extent last year is not as effective this year. Couple categories to me that hit me. Who you pass to, obviously only three players last game. That's incredibly unusual. But even when you pass to Moore, it's not that often other guys. What type of plays you run, how often you run the ball, limited use of motion and shifts, limited utilization of hot routes. I mean, I'll ask you this question. Do you think defenses have figured some stuff out and perhaps you should make some adjustments to the offense to create complexities and to put greater stress on defenses that have figured some stuff out?
As we look at our offense, we've had, you know, obviously these last two games have been bad stretches, but before that, I would say that, you know, no one really thought that way. Have we turned the ball over a little bit more this year? Yes. But, you know, I don't feel like that is the – do we need to run the ball more effectively at times? Yes. I thought this week was a good step in the right direction. And we're always trying to make sure that we mesh plays together. I will always say that no matter what, the pass game will go through AJ, Devontae, and Dallas, and the plays will be planned for them. And that's how the game works. And then there's times where the ball based off coverage goes somewhere else. Now the ball based off coverage didn't go anywhere else in the Dallas game because, you know, the plays were going where we designed them to. And, you know, that's the kind of a product, a little bit of an unusual product of what happened last week. But, you know, we know we have things to fix on offense. And we're working like crazy to do that. You know, if you look at the product of the entire season, we haven't been as good as we were last year, but this is a new year. This is a new team. And we are in the top 10 of a lot of categories. And so of a lot of major categories. So, you know, we'll continue to fight to get better. And that's our job as coaches, to put them in positions to succeed. And the good thing is we have really good players that can go out there and execute to succeed.
How much has Jalen's play slipped compared to last year, Nick?
Yeah, I thought Jalen in this game, I thought he played, he was decisive with the football, knew where to go with the football. And I think, you know, that he's been playing good football. You know, again, it is easy to look at the last two games and be discouraged. And trust me, we are too. We're discouraged by the way of the performance that we had, that we've coached and played the last two games. And so, but if you look at the overall product, you know, I think Jalen's done a nice job this year. I mean, until we lost the two games, I think I've seen a lot where he's up for the MVP discussion. Mm. And so, like, mm-hmm. Were the two games up to our standard? Not even a little bit, obviously, right? We know we're a better football team than that, but I don't think it's fair to judge it just on that. I think he's been playing good football, you know, and then, but we also understand that the quarterback's going to get you know, a lot of the blame when it's not going well. And that's, you know, and I know that as well as the head coach. We know what we signed up for in those positions, and that's the reality of it.
How concerned are you with Jalen against the blitz, and how can the offensive plan improve against blitz pressure?
Yeah, I think Jalen handles himself with calm presence during the blitz. You know, seeing different things and getting the ball out where he needs to get it out. Again, it's not just – this is the ultimate team game. So, fair question, again, because he is our quarterback, but there's so many parts of that of, you know, what goes into picking up the blitz. It's us as coaches putting them in positions first and foremost and handing them the tools of what needs to happen on that. And we need to be better in that. And it's also – you know, the protection, the routes, being right where they're supposed to be, all those different things, it takes all of us to do it. So this isn't a Jalen stat. This is a team stat of what we need to do better, you know, with some of those things. And they got us a couple times. We got them a couple times, you know, when they blitzed us on Sunday night there. And that's the way a football game goes, right? You rarely bat 100% in a football game. So, again, they got us a couple times on blitzes. And we got them a couple times on blitzes. But that is a team stat. But I do feel like Jalen is completely comfortable versus the different defenses that are presented to him.
Nick, I know it's been a few days, but I want to go back to the game and inside one aspect of the game that really surprised me. The end of the first half, it didn't feel pedal to the metal. You guys are down 24-6. There's 20 seconds left, and you have three timeouts, and it's a first and 10. I mean, to me, that's multiple opportunities for 15, 20-yard passes down the field, try to get in field goal range with three timeouts. Why not more aggressive there in a game in which you're down by 18 points?
Aggression can be thought of a couple different ways. Of course, we were trying to go down and get points. If you look back at the Minnesota game, we handed the ball off and sprung one for about 20 yards.
Yep.
When the defense is in and we call the timeout, then we did it again, call the timeout. Then we ran it again, I think, and then we kicked a field goal, right? That was the Minnesota game. You know, so when a defense is playing like they were in that particular case, we ran a draw. You know, did it hit for as many as we thought it would? No. You know, did we have a visions of that Minnesota game in our mind a little bit with the way the defense was playing us? Yeah, so the aggression can be done different ways. Just because we handed the ball off doesn't mean that we weren't trying to be aggressive in that spot, because we knew we needed to score points there. Now, the first play didn't go the way, you know, it didn't gain the yards. We banged the timeout. We had an incomplete pass on the second play. And then on the third play, now you're looking at a time where, yes, you still have two timeouts, but the time was at 13 seconds, I believe. And when the ball's on the, I believe it was on the 31 at that particular time, there's not enough time with third. We didn't feel like there was enough time with that 13 seconds on third down to be able to do that. Because remember this, if you don't convert on that third down, then you're forced to punt too. So that's on your mind as well, that you don't want to have to unnecessarily punt there. But, you know, again, we felt like we were being aggressive and it just didn't work out this time. But every intention of us with those three timeouts was to go try to score in that particular case. Hey, in this particular case, it didn't work out.
Nick, when would you consider taking over play calling?
No, I do not think that is the issue. I think Brian's done a nice job, handled a lot of different scenarios, handled, you know, and I think that he's doing a good job. And to me, right, I need to be able to manage the game, which is the whole reason why I gave up play calling in the first place. Because I felt like I had people in place that'd be able to call it, and I still feel that way. And, you know, I need to be able to manage the game the way I see fit. I think that's, you know, a lot of respect to the guys that do both. I feel like, to me, you know, managing the game's a full-time job, calling the game's a full-time job, and, you know, it takes two people to do that, you know, during the game. And so I'm comfortable with Brian. Again, I think he's done a good job, and you know, and like I said, you know, I need to make sure I'm doing my job in that particular case as a head coach.
Nick, the last four games, our defense allowed 168, 172, 146, and 138 on the ground. Why are teams running so effectively on us?
Yeah, you know, especially these last two games, you know, they've gotten the lead and obviously getting more, a couple more rushing attempts. But like I said, you know, with some other of these things, we have to first and foremost be able to put the guys in spots to make plays, and then we have to go execute. So, you know, whether that's been, you know, good, and obviously we've played good teams too, but we know we're a good team, and we know we've been good against the run for a majority of the year, but it hasn't been for these last four. Sometimes, you know, you're setting up your defense to stop certain things in the pass game or certain guys in the pass game that open those things up. And so, we got to be better though. Again, we got to be better because we know we have the right guys up front, to be better. And so, you know, I really have a lot of confidence in those guys, got a lot of resources put up in those guys as far as how we spent our draft picks, how we spent our money. You know, got a lot of faith in those guys. But we would, no doubt, we need to be better against the run to be able to get off the field and to make sure that we're in third and, you know, longer situations as opposed to third and shorter.
Nick, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, do you think they've hit a rookie wall? And if so, what can you do about it?
Yeah, you know, I don't believe that. You definitely see that in times of players, you know, that are rookies. I've definitely been on teams where I'm like, that guy's hit a rookie wall. And I don't feel that there, you know, and I don't see that there. You know, obviously, we're not playing well enough or coaching well enough in anything right now in these last two games. And so, you know, it'd be unfair to single anybody out or single them out. You know, I know the rookie wall is real, and that's our job as coaches to make sure that they're rested and they're ready to go while also being ready to go physically, right? And so, like, meaning – the answer is just not always to rest, because you got to go out there and you got to hit and tackle and do all those things on Sunday. So you got to get them ready physically in the sense of, you know, getting themselves hitting a little bit during the week. And so, you know, but we have to do what I have to do. And it's really on me to make sure that all the guys are rested, you know, but always the rookie thing is always something we keep an eye on. I just don't feel that way right now.
Nick Sirianni here. Nick, let's talk about, I'm sure you heard that a player talked to Derek Gunn anonymously and essentially critical of the coaching staff with the nature of the quote. Does it bother you that was said, and what have you or will you do about it?
Yeah, no, that, you know, everybody is going to handle, you know, frustrations a little differently. And no, that doesn't bother me. You know, I hear something like that, and I look to myself and say, okay, is there validity to this, and how? And if there is, how do we fix it? Right? I'll take, like, you can't just be closed off to criticism. Like, you have to be able to block criticism out, but you also have to have the awareness to understand when criticism is real and do something to fix it. Right? That's what we ask our players to do. Hey, I'm gonna make an adjustment or tell you what I think on this play, and it's your job to take that criticism and get better from it. And so, yeah, I'm not real concerned on any, I'll take criticism, and if it's worth it, and from anywhere, and use it to get better always. And I've always felt like that. Now, am I going to make everyone happy at all times? No, I also understand that too as the head coach, but criticism is not a bad thing. Criticism, like, does anyone love it at the time? No, because it's uncomfortable, but can you use it sometimes to help you grow? Of course.
Nick, interesting stuff. Nick Sirianni joining the morning show yesterday, as he does every week. We'll react to that coming up next. I thought that was a really interesting way of handling the question about the leak. That's coming up next. Plus, Ruben Amaro, join us in studio. He'll be with us for the rest of the show. That's coming up next as well. Plus, your calls, 215-592-9494. It's the morning show. Don't go anywhere.